Welcome into This Has to Work. Today, I'm joined by Maria Underwood. Maria is a founder, mentor, community builder, board chair, and Birmingham ecosystem advocate. She founded Fundrage, an app that connects people to nonprofit organizations actively working to address and resolve issues in their community and across the globe. Maria is currently the president of Birmingham Bound, a nonprofit organization working to recruit tech companies and tech talent to Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome to the show, Maria.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into some of the details around Birmingham Bound in a second. But if I look at your LinkedIn profile, I'm going to pretend like I don't know you fairly well. And from conversations with you, so we'll just kill the fourth wall. It's obvious that community building and things around community building have been central to kind of not only your professional work, but also your personal work. Mm-hmm. What drew you to that kind of work?
Yeah, I think I've always been civic minded, and a large part of that is my parents. My mom's been involved in nonprofits. My dad ran a large nonprofit here in Birmingham for a long time. And so I grew up in a family where that was a priority, where that was something that you did every day regardless. And it was work. So that was what was modeled to me. And I think I've had this mentality from that of, I just kind of want to leave the world better than I've found it. Mm-hmm. And however I can help the community, help people I know kind of connect to get better. That's what I want to try to lean into.
Right. And I also too want to point out, you know, you've done this in different places, but you've done it in kind of, for lack of a better term, the heart of the beast, Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. on a number of things. So certainly you have a wide perspective on that. So let's talk a little bit about Birmingham Bound. That's where you and I know each other kind of in that context maybe best. But talk a little bit about it. What is exactly the charter mission for Birmingham Bound?
So our mission is to recruit founders to Birmingham. And then once they get here, to help them stay and grow their companies here. It's also really important for us to help companies that are founded in Birmingham and help them as well stay and grow here. So we want to make sure that anyone who wants to be here, a part of the startup ecosystem, has access to the people they need to meet, the places they need to go. We kind of act as a concierge service of support. So we answer the, who do I call for this? Where can I find this? And make sure that they feel like they're not in a brand new ecosystem or they're kind of a fish out of water. We want to make sure they feel like they can grow their business comfortably, but fast and better in Birmingham.
Yeah, I have heard from a lot of folks that have participated as founders and as company leadership, and they say regularly, we saw more, we talked to more people, we had more exposure in 36 hours than we've had in our own ecosystem in 36 months. So really condensed and kind of high touch, high quality interaction. The other thing they always come back with, and we might circle back to this, is they always use the word authentic when they talk about kind of their experience. Like, you know, people who said they would do something ended up following up, people who didn't. And it was just like, it felt very, very much authentic. I know that Birmingham Bound has gone through kind of two or three different iterations. Mm. So talk a little bit about how it started and how has it evolved since then?
So it started out as a corporate initiative of Shipt. So Bill Smith, local founder, created Shipt. Target acquired Shipt back in 2018 and wanted Shipt to move their headquarters to Minneapolis, where Target is headquartered. And Bill and Brittany Somerville, who's still our board chair and also helped build Birmingham Bound, basically said, no, we're going to stay in Birmingham and invest in hiring locally, economic development of the city. So they spun the idea of Birmingham Bound into this corporate initiative. And then we're really successful in doing that. Then COVID hit in about 2020. Shipt also was going through, some big changes with leadership. So in 2022, they came together and decided to make Birmingham Bound an independent nonprofit. So there were conversations that this organization kind of belonged more to the city of Birmingham than to one corporate. So they launched us as a C3. So now we're a nonprofit organization, still heavily supported by those companies and those partners. But we spent last year really focusing on how has the tech ecosystem changed since Birmingham Bound started. With COVID, you know, the tech industry was always a little more remote than the rest of the industry, but even more so after COVID. So how does that look like for companies to have a headquarters city to bring a bunch of employees into Birmingham if they do move? What's happened in the tech ecosystem in that time frame? So we spent a lot of last year listening, building, talking, and this year is we've come up with a strategic plan and here's how we're going to kind of activate it on this year.
And we'll get back to that because I'm interested in hearing how it's going to evolve as it goes forward, because these things are, I think, more dynamic than people realize. Mm-hmm. And to that point, when you're talking with these companies, when you're talking with talent, what is it that they're trying to answer for? Like, what is it that they want to know about Birmingham as they start to consider, you know, relocating their whole company, maybe part of their company, et cetera?
The first thing is why Birmingham? I think Birmingham has a really unique value proposition as a tech company, a tech community. But most people haven't given Birmingham a second thought, especially we're in Alabama. We, you know, we have some cards stacked against us, you know, some would say. So once we get people here, a lot of their concerns are kind of melt away. It's really easy to sell them on Birmingham once they're here. But what they're looking for to start is, I want to go a place where I can find community. So a lot of founders, we do a survey before founders come here and ask what they're looking for. Like, what do you have to have in a city that you live in? And we ask them for that for their company, but also for them as a person. Like, they also have to want to live in Birmingham. But we hear access to decision makers. We hear community. We had a founder who say, I wanted to move to a community where there's a lot of female entrepreneurs. Can mm-hmm. you show me that when you're in town? And so we kind of take what they want to see and help that roadmap. And if we don't have it, we're honest about it too. We'll have people who say, we want to move to a place where we're going to get a lot of funding. And sometimes we're like, we can connect you to people who might be interested. We're not going to promise you that. So I think that back to that authentic word you said earlier, I think we try to show the best of Birmingham, but be honest about maybe where we have to work as well.
Yeah. I was attending one of the events, and Mayor Randall Woodfin showed up, and he does that often for Birmingham Bound. He shows up for a lot of things, but he specifically shows up to invites from Birmingham Bound. And seeing how founders react to the mayor of the city they're considering partnering with, for lack of a better term, that carries so much weight, because you know in the back of their head, they're like, I've never met the mayor of insert, you know, city name.
City.
Yeah, of where I've been building this thing for 18 months, 18 years, whatever the case may be. And so it does seem that that carries a lot of weight with people. Like, the community shows up.
It does. And I think that that's not what people are looking for, to your question, but it's what they find they want. They don't walk in thinking, I need a community of support, but they leave Birmingham finding that and realizing it's what they needed all along. We do happy hours that we bring people from the ecosystem and then people who are relevant to the company's mission to kind of come in and meet them. And we have a company in right now, and they've asked the question today that I've been asked multiple times of, is this for me? Was this an existing happy hour, or did y'all just put this on for us? And the answer is like, no, the community is showing up for you. And I don't know that you get that in other ecosystems.
Yeah, that was funny. I heard that same feedback, and I think it was from the same people where they literally thought they just walked into like a pre-existing happy hour. Uh-huh. And they're like, no, everybody here is for you. They're here to see you, meet you, talk to you. Uh-huh. You talked a little bit about some of the headwinds and some of the challenges in that recruitment. Can you give us a couple of examples, things that you guys have had to, you and your team have had to address or overcome or certainly talk through with some of these founders, some of these companies?
So I think the kind of the larger political issue at hand is we are not a city yet that is separated from the state that we live in. And I think the initial hurdle of people saying, like, I've never been to Alabama, why am I going to go there? For reasons valid and not. Quite frankly, I think that is something we have to talk through. It's kind of easier when you say, like, well, Atlanta's in Georgia and Austin's in Texas. Like, there are other ecosystems that are, you know, maybe different than from what their state's doing. So I think that is its own separate issue. And I think there's just an unknown of Birmingham at the moment. And that is one of the big things we have to, I've never thought of that. You know, no one's ever mentioned that to me. So another part of our current mission is just PR for the city.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be out there more talking about Birmingham as an ecosystem so that it's less of a kind of confusing Birmingham. I've never heard of that. And it's more, you know, I've been hearing about Birmingham. I want to learn more. So we've got to shift that mindset a little bit. And I think we're hitting a good tipping point of people hearing about us.
One thing I've heard too is like, well, where is the tech talent coming from? Because we need talent. And it's funny, but it's actually, I would argue and have made this argument to people that you're better off in Birmingham than you would be in Atlanta. And for one particular reason, which is, yes, Atlanta has a ton of Fortune 500 companies. They have a ton of high growth tech companies. They have all the FANG companies. And that seems really great until you're a small startup. You're trying to hire a software engineer who is going to go and interview at all 30, 40, 50 of those places before you even get a crack at them. So maybe you get the chance to hire the 40th or 50th best candidate for that role because they've already been passed over by companies that can offer more than you can from a salary perspective, from a resume perspective, from a prestige perspective. And then you get to pay market rates for Atlanta, right? Or for Nashville, which have gone up significantly. So there is kind of that, yes, we don't have huge companies that are just shedding these, you know, mid kind of career or early career, tech talent folks. However, you're also not competing with Home Depot and UPS and Tableau and SalesLoft and insert any of the FANGs that all have, you know, ping pong tables and free beer.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think that there is a great workforce here. I do think there's something we can work on more. You look at cities like Tulsa, who kind of focused first on getting remote workforce into their city, and now they're trying to recruit companies. We're kind of doing that on the inverse, and I don't know which chicken and the egg way is better to do that, but you've got to have both. And so we're working on an initiative right now with Tech Birmingham and a couple other corporate partners to create an upskilling initiative so that if people are looking for ways to become more entrepreneurial, looking for leadership skills, if they're a software developer and want to learn how to kind of move up the ladder and lead a team as well, need technical skills, we're putting together programs to where we can invest in our workforce here in Birmingham and help companies get really wonderful employees here and help employees find maybe a new space in the startup life.
So how many companies so far would you say you guys have played a direct or at least an indirect role in getting to relocate to Birmingham?
Since our founding in 2018, it's over 30.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to do the math in the back of my head. I mean, it's 5 to 6 given with COVID thrown in there.
Yeah, there's a little dark horse.
But that's still 5 to 6 a year. I mean, I don't know how many economic development agencies that are literally doing this full time with dozens of people on staff and a much larger budget than I assume you have. I'm not sure they're getting 5 or 6 companies. To that end, let's look at this almost like economic development, because I think it is in some part, if not just obviously economic development, but historically speaking in Alabama, that has been based on job creation from manufacturing, production, and distribution facilities, for lack of a better term. Some are huge, right? Some are auto manufacturers like Mercedes-Benz and Honda and Toyota, Mazda, Hyundai, et cetera. Some are not. Some are distribution centers for Amazon. Some are, we're getting the Uncrustables, Smucker's production facility. We're very happy about that.
I don't think I knew that, but that's great news.
Yeah, it is. But that's also a good example of those jobs are very much fungible, right? They're very much interchangeable. To that point, I think the same facility for which we lost the CVS distribution jobs and site is where Smucker's is going. So net, are we really better off? What Birmingham Bound is doing in focusing on companies that are more tech enabled, at least if not fully on, you know, kind of tech building, that's a very different kind of economic development. Mm-hmm. Fewer headcount, higher pay, arguably higher economic mobility. When you start talking to people about this, how do you explain the role that kind of recruitment has within the larger economic development goals of Birmingham and the state of Alabama.
It is tricky because, to your point, bringing, you know, helping five companies move here last year, they may hire two or three folks in the first year. They're startup founders. You know, they're not going to explode right away necessarily. And that value proposition is harder. But when they hire, they're also hiring higher salaries. They're looking for technical skills that we need to grow in our ecosystem anyways. Out of the 30 that we've recruited here since 2018, they have been of varying sizes. Since COVID, it has been harder to bring, you know, full companies to move here. But the more entrepreneurs and really smart founders we put into our ecosystem, even if that company doesn't succeed, which we all know a lot of startups don't, you now have really smart people who have failed once and are motivated to succeed on the next end, who are going to stay here. They may go to companies here. They may start something again. But we're bringing really brilliant minds into the ecosystem who are creating better jobs, higher paying jobs, and that are skill-based. So I think it makes our whole workforce
Well, it could be competitive on a
competitive. That's the word. I was like comparable.
Something. Yeah,
competitive in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, this may upset people, but, you know, if you don't look at Birmingham as a post-industrial, you know, economy, much like a lot of cities, then I think you're missing the kind of the viewpoint that looks more forward than backward. Right. And if we're not doing those kinds of things, I don't think that, you know, that manufacturing base, that industrial base will ever return to the levels it was in, let's say, the 1980s. So you got to do something different. And to that point, you mentioned Tulsa, and that's an example of another kind of what I would call mid-market city that is doing this exact kind of work, right? They're trying to recruit companies. They're trying to recruit talent. I think Tulsa actually had an individual talent incentive where they would pay somebody to move to Tulsa and live and work in Tulsa for some period of time. So that's getting really competitive. There's a lot of places that are doing it. And you mentioned before some new strategies and some new tactics that you guys are rolling out this year. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the more creative or innovative approaches you're taking to this?
Yeah, so we did a lot of listening to founders last year. Like, what do you – there are a lot of programs out there. What do you need to grow your business? Like, what would be the most help? So we were able to secure funding through Innovate Alabama to roll out this new program called Bound for Success. So if you're a company who we help move here this year, or if you're a founder based in Birmingham, you can apply for this company, for this program. And we have a certain amount of money we have for each founder that includes marketing support, meaning we connect you with a marketing agency. You talk about the scope of work that you need, and we fund part of that for you. Same with hiring. If you want to hire locally here and you don't know how to do it, we will help pay for a portion of that hiring agency fee so that you don't have to do it. We have a pitch deck platform that you can get on that gets you in real-time feedback on your pitch deck. It has a national investor network connected to it as well. We do all of those white glove kind of introductions to the people you need to know in the ecosystem. And those are the things we heard from founders are the hardest. They're like, we don't know how to write a press release about what we're doing. Should we? How do we? I need an ESP file or EPS file for this person to sponsor. I don't know how to make that. So we want to make sure that all of those questions that kind of like brain drain a founder when they're needing to focus on business strategy and sales, they don't have to worry about as much. And we have our first three companies in that right now. And if they have already, we've already gotten great feedback of like, this is the actual help I've been needing as a founder to watch my investment dollars while I build my business. So I'm excited to roll out more of that and help more ecosystem founders this year, because I think we're going to see some good results from it.
I would also assume too that oftentimes early time, you know, first time founders, early stage founders, they don't actually know what they need.
Right.
So having somebody else go, hey, this has worked for other companies in the past. This is a common, you know, set of circumstances or a path or sequence of events. Even to the point of like meeting other founders, getting involved, you know, you'll see a founder come into an ecosystem and it's just heads down work. I am focused on the stuff that living, breathing, eating this stuff. And then you have other founders that really go out of their way to try to get more community into kind of their daily life. But there's that squishy middle that may want to do it, but doesn't know how to do it. And I know you guys have done some of that work as well.
Yeah. we did also hear from a lot of founders that there are lots of events that you can go to in the ecosystem. And it's kind of everyone from the tech community in general. And some of them have just said, we just want to meet and talk with other founders, like, and have someone talk back to us, knowing that something that we can collaborate, we can communicate, we can talk about how hard things are together. So we try to do really intentional founder connections as well. Even if it's one-on-one, if it's a happy hour for just female founders, whatever that looks like. Because it can be an isolating, kind of lonely world as a founder.
Yeah, for sure. We talked about this for briefly, but one of the things that I have witnessed is participating in these events is, and we said this, is the city turns out for these things. But there's always more room on the party bus. So if somebody's listening to this episode and they go, hey, listen, my organization isn't involved in Birmingham Bound. I'm not involved in Birmingham Bound. I really also agree this is important work. It's something I'm passionate about. How can they get involved to support the work you guys are doing?
So they can email me, Instagram me, LinkedIn me, however you want to reach me. I am available to answer that. And then we talk about kind of what that looks like, because it's different for everyone. So we have, you know, development shops who reach out and say they want to meet founders. And then we also kind of try to guard founders from a lot of people who are trying to
sell them to stuff. Them. Yeah.
So we have a bench of support, of resources, of lawyers, of accountants, of banks, of startup shops, of development shops who have said, we want to help founders. And so if we have a founder identify themselves that like, I'm looking for X, then we go through our database and we want to have the best of any of those companies in our database to say they want to work with founders. They get it. We have like a leasing agent we work with, somebody's looking for real estate that knows that a founder can't be locked into a 10-year lease necessarily. That doesn't make sense for investment dollars for a founder. So we try to make sure those folks are, that we recommend, know what working with startups is like. So if there's a service to offer, let us know. We'll have a conversation. And if it comes up, we'll bring founders to it. Because we want to make sure that they know those resources and that we can help point them in the right direction.
So I grew up outside of Baltimore, Maryland, and spent a lot of time in D.C. So my question to you is, why is Washington, D.C. simultaneously the best and worst place to be and work?
So I did love my time in D.C. I was there for about 10 years. The best is that there's always something interesting and new to do and to learn and to experience.
Every 2 years, the town turns
everybody
over.
Leaves. Yeah, that's also part of the worst of it. So you lose friends really fast. I think the worst thing about living in D.C. is everyone thinks they're the most important person in the world.
Interesting.
You've got a lot of ego. It's like you see it mostly when you're either driving or walking or biking. Like, everyone who's driving their car hates pedestrians. Everyone who's a pedestrian hates the bikers. The bikers hate the cars. Like, everyone's like, I'm the most important person. I have the right of way. And that just like expands out into work. And a lot of people are doing great things, but sometimes it's just.
And if you ever want to see the physical representation of that, just go to DuPont Circle and then watch the chaos of like all of that coming together all at once. I know for me, I took it for granted, you know, because it was literally a metro ride into a very nice metro, very safe, very clean, very convenient metro ride. And metro, for those who don't know, is a subway. But it is arguably the best subway system potentially that I've ever
used to be.
Yeah.
When I moved from D.C., the metro's slogan that they rolled out was back to good.
Oh, that's
so just
if you're
terrible. Talking about a baseline back to good.
At least when Steve Jobs made it think different, he knew he was being grammatically incorrect and he was trying to make a point, but that's just out of
bounds.
We're
not even trying to be great. We're just trying to get back to something that's acceptable.
Yeah, 100%. So you mentioned this before. If somebody's trying to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
Maria@behimbound.com or LinkedIn, Maria Underwood, and then whatever that profile is.
Well, keep up the good work. Thanks for all you do for the ecosystem, and thanks so much for
being
here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.